This week's Something Wild podcast is sponsored by Pelletieri Associates, an award-winning team of landscape architects celebrating over 30 years of land planning, fine gardening, masonry, poolscapes, and maintenance services throughout New England, and a proud supporter of NHPR.
So gypsy moth populations have been much more modest this year.
That's right. I remember there was a bit of a plague of them last year in southern New England.
Right. So there was a lot of discussion then about how humans can help curb the effects of this invasive. But it's worth remembering that the trees these caterpillars feed on are not completely helpless.
So that's where we are today on Something Wild. I'm Chris Martin from New Hampshire Audubon.
And I'm Dave Anderson from the Forest Society. Gypsy moth caterpillars will feed on basically anything, oak, birch, even pine.
Their scientific name, Limantria, comes from the Greek word for bringer of ruin.
Yikes! And they can destroy a tree. And a population boom can destroy huge swaths of foliage.
And they're particularly devastating in North America because they're non-native species, indigenous to Europe. And so they have few natural predators here.
Right, and that's something we've been trying to mitigate for years.
Actually, the introduction of gypsy moths can be traced all the way back to 1869, when a French entomologist brought some eggs to Massachusetts to interbreed with silk-producing moths. But his charges escaped.
I guess that was predictable. So here we are, 150 years later, and still grappling with them.
Talk about your butterfly effect.
Step on a butterfly today. 3 years from now, a million people are wiped out.
Scientists have tried a few different things to stem the tide of the gypsy moth, but our trees have developed their own strategy for dealing with pests like this.
What, like do they have an Iron Man suit?
Well, sort of. But instead of iron, think tannin. When trees sense a loss of leaves, they start to produce more tannins.
Tannins, like in red wine? That's sort of a preservative, isn't it?
Exactly. It's a biomolecule that is a natural antioxidant, and it helps to prevent decomposition, which could be a problem if you suddenly find yourself without your leaves.
Yeah, I guess.
These tannins make any remaining leaves bitter and less palatable to the invasive insect.
So more tannin in the leaves stops gypsy moths from feeding on that particular tree?
Well, not exactly.
Oh.
They feed less on that tree, and they gravitate more towards those with lower tannin content. But here's the really cool part. Some species of trees can warn other trees that pests are coming and then suit up for battle.
It's an arboreal early warning system.
Exactly. A given tree is often linked to dozens of others via the interconnected soil fungi and root system that keeps them alive. So when one tree begins producing extra tannins...
Other trees can sense it via their root system?
There's some evidence to support this. Some trees can communicate via roots, some communicate through the air by releasing chemicals that are picked up by other trees downwind.
Do all trees speak the same language? Can a maple tree send up a warning to the entire forest?
Well, as far as we can tell, maples can only talk to other maples, oaks with other oaks.
But once the warning goes out, that can stop the advance of gypsy moth?
It can slow it down and even redirect it. This chemical communication system can be used for other purposes, too.
What else do plants need to communicate about?
What do trees have to talk about, Except the consistency of squirrel droppings.
Trees can use it for defensive methods, but some plants use it for offense.
You mean attack? Attack what?
Not exactly an attack. Look, here's an example. The hay-scented fern, Denstadia punctilobula. Mm. You can find it all over the state.
I think I've seen some of those ferns along the woods trail that I walk.
It secretes a chemical into the soil, and that suppresses the germination and growth of the seeds of some other species of plants.
So any seed that lands on that soil effectively lands in a toxic environment.
Yeah, it's perfect soil for the fern, but if an acorn or a maple samara lands there, it won't survive. This is good for the ferns because it prevents more tree seedlings from growing and shading them out.
So, in this case, the best defense is a good offense.
Plants and trees have evolved to hold their ground.
I'm Chris Martin.
And I'm Dave Anderson.
Something Wild is a joint production of New Hampshire Audubon, the Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests, and NHPR.
Bringer of ruin! That's funny! I don't know.
That's funny, folks.
I'll give you a yikes.
It's Election Day on Tuesday. Voters in cities across New Hampshire will head to the polls to weigh in on mayoral races and other local issues. And NHPR's Morning Edition will be in Manchester throughout the morning speaking with political analysts and newsmakers as New Hampshire's largest city chooses its next leader. Join Rick Ganley live from the Bridge Cafe on Elm Street in Manchester, or tune in to Morning Edition on Tuesday from 5 to 9 on NHPR.